there we go. Do this with me. My eyes are on Jesus. My heart is tuned to his spirit. My ears are listening to his voice. My mind will believe what he says, and my voice will declare the truth of his word. Amen. You may be seated. And Lord Jesus, I just pray that you continue to use this time for your will and your glory. Lord, use my mouth. Use all of me and all of us in this time to communicate your word, to communicate your truth, and have your way in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So last time we talked about a little bit about 1 Chronicles 12:32 and Ecclesiastes 3. And we talked about the fact that the Lord was saying to me in that moment that he wanted to know if we were really focusing on recognizing the times and seasons, right? What's going on? What is going on right now? Don't look at the news channel or you know, online news or radio news and have them tell you what's going on. Ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, what is going on? What do I need to see? What do I need to do? What kind of person and leader do I need to be? One of the things that we do is, or that we should do to do that is, Lord, what is your will for me? You have plans for me, the Word of God says. What are those plans? And you may get a nugget, you may get a whole sheet. I don't know how it works for you, but I promise you, as you continue to persist in him and you persist in asking that question, guess what? He will answer. Amen. Let me back up a little bit. How many of you know and believe without a shadow of doubt that God still speaks today? Yes. Does he still speak? Yes. Is he still speaking? Yes. Often the problem is the person receiving. So I would have to ask you, are you not just hearing him, but are you listening to him today? That's what we're going to talk about. All right. He gave me an acronym, and as I was thinking about it this week, because we didn't really dive into it too much, so I'm going to cover a little bit of the first part. But I just said, Lord, is this all that you want to say today? He said, no, I got a couple more. So I got an ER added to it. So today, instead of talking about so, we are talking about the so-er. And here's the acronym for those that are taking notes. S is sacrifice. O is obedience. W is worship. E is evangelism. And R is rest. And we're going to talk about that today. So first up, God is calling us to sacrifice. The first scripture that I have here, and many of us are familiar with it, but I want to share it with you this morning, is found in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Have you presented yourself to the Lord? That song, and I'm going to probably reference that song a little bit just because it just wrecks me completely, but that echo holy, like just falling down before his throne and saying, you can have all of this. I wouldn't want to have all of this because I don't know, you can do a whole lot with it. You know, you're kind of being the humble, a little bit of humility there, but nonetheless, Jesus wants you. And he wants you to surrender yourself. He wants you to surrender your will. He wants you to present yourself as the sacrifice. And something I remember him telling me, I think I might have shared that in times past, but the picture that I always get of this when I think about this and I think about Abraham and Isaac and all of the things, how often do we present ourselves as a sacrifice and then we're doing everything we can to squirm and hop up off the altar because the fire's hot? Sacrifice means all of it's consumed. Do you understand what I'm saying? All of your old ways are gone. You're done, right? And we need that. We need to be consumed in the Holy Spirit fire so that what comes out of it is brand new that can be used for him. Nothing of the old ways. Nothing of our old self. Amen. Yeah, nothing of the old self. New creation, right? The Lord said to Abram in Genesis 12:1, he said, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land that I will show you. He didn't even tell him where he was going. Some of us know exactly what he's talking about. When you are called to leave your family, there's a heartache that often is mixed with that, right? Man, this is all I've ever known. It's all I've ever been, right? Like that store that we walk down to the corner is all, that's my life. You know what I'm saying? You understand what I'm going with that? It's like the cows on the corners of all these places, like those are my directions, you know, it's like just simple. And it's like, Lord, are you sure? Should I go? Like, I don't know what's going to happen, right? He said, I'm calling you from all you've ever known. Lay it down. Even family, lay it down. And if you remember what I said last week, and I've been living and breathing this, it's not to discount your family, because oftentimes you see ministers and people of God that put everything above their family, and God's not calling that kind of imbalance. That's not what he's saying. But if you love your family more than you love the Lord Jesus, and his voice isn't as loud as their voice, and you're kind of coming at their beck and call, you've got things out of whack. And I'll say it again for those that weren't in the room. I promise you, it is tried and true. If you put Jesus first, he will teach you how to take care of your family. He will teach you how to take care of your job, what you're accountable for, your responsibilities. He will teach you how, when to give your yes and when to give a no. Some of us just say yes to everything. Oh, yeah. Totally. And then you don't follow through. And now you're a big fat liar. You know, it's like, have him help you say yes and say no. Are you with me? I'm reminded, I don't think I have this scripture in there, so just pause back there, guys. But I'm reminded of the story in Luke 16:19. Luke 16:19. It's the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Do you remember? The thoughts that came in my mind as I was thinking about this rich man. And you can see the full story in there. But how often, most of us wish that we were the Lazarus, the one that stepped into eternal promise and glory and all that. But our attitudes are that of the rich man. We have the comfort. We have everything that we need. And we're blessed, or that's our perception of it. Like, God's blessing me. And we don't bless others. We don't look at others. We don't see the gold and the beauty in them. We scoff at them and we look past them. We walk past them. We don't extend a helping hand. And those Lazaruses in your life, in that regard, are more blessed than you. It's time to wake up. It's time to ask God to peel back the blinders and say, help me see. And in all the ways that I've chosen not to see, I'm going to get in this in a minute, but all the ways I've chosen not to see, that I've put on blinders, help me to remove those blinders and not put them back on, but help me to see the people in my life that don't have it as well as I do. And is there something that you're calling me to step into and help? Now, I'm not talking about enabling. Please hear me. I'm talking about truly helping. And that's a dialogue that you and Jesus need to have if you're not already having. How can I step in and help? Is it me? And if it's not me, help me see the things in their life that I can begin to pray for that I initially wrote off as they're lazy or they don't want to help themselves and all these other lies that we tell ourselves, and help me start interceding on their behalf because there's somebody that you're raising up that will be able to meet them, that will be able to help them, and I'm praying it into existence. Are you hearing me on that? Does that make sense? So have you told God no in an area of your life? As I'm sure the rich man did. I don't need to help Lazarus. That's not me, that's someone else. The thought that I had there, just to color this a little bit further, is we can sometimes deafen our ability to hear God in certain areas of our lives because of our lack of care or lack of desire or just cold-heartedness towards it. Think about Pharaoh. His heart was hardened. It didn't start out that way. He made choices, he made decisions, and when he was faced with these things from the people, he continued to allow his heart to get hardened. And what did God do? God let it happen. Hey, if that's the bed you want to lay in, I'm going to allow you to lay in it. Do I believe that if the Pharaoh would have repented, that God would have allowed his hard heart to be broken and made new again? Absolutely. But it was not his choice. He chose to continue to be hardened. And so therefore, he was incapable of hearing the voice of God as it pertained to God's people. There are Pharaohs today that sit in our churches that allow themselves to be hardened to the plights of others, to the things that others are going through. And they say, I don't want their kind here. I don't like their kind here. So-and-so was mean to me and they're one of them and I don't like that. Well, guess what you just did? You built up a stronghold, a wall, a tower that you said, I will not hear God in this area of my life, in this area of their life. You've become deafened. And so God is still speaking. You have chosen not to hear. And you're allowing that word to pass through a filter. And you're saying they're all that way. They're always going to be that way. And it's not my problem. So I'm here to break that down for you in Jesus' name. Do you want to be free from that in Jesus' name? Lord, free us from the walls and the things that we've put up. And we said, no, I will not. Lord, help us to say, Lord, if you will. Lord, if you will. Lord, if you're speaking, I want to hear. Lord, if you're calling me to act, I want to act. I break down those walls and those filters right now in Jesus' name. They will not control me and they will not deafen me in Jesus' name. Amen? Luke 14, verses 25 through 33. It says, large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. Verse 27, and whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, this person began to build and wasn't able to finish. Verse 31, or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and ask for terms of peace. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples. He's calling us to sacrifice. He's calling us to lay something down. Did you know the calling on your life, the mandate on your life, the people that he's called you to will require payment, will require a sacrifice? Now, do not mistake, your treasure in heaven is great. But you don't often get to see that. Right now, all you see is the trial and the tribulation and the cost before you. And you have to sit down, as he says here, and say, God, am I willing to pay this? And I am here to tell you today, when you determine, yes, Lord, I will pay it, don't turn back. Go forward. Press on ahead. Be encouraged. You are on the right track. You are on the right path. If you've had that dialogue with Jesus and he's calling you to something, he's telling you what to pay, pay it and press forward. Don't get distracted. Don't look to the left or to the right. Go with him and follow his lead. He will see you through. And he knows the cost that you paid. And I am very certain, very confident, because I've seen it in my own life, he helps you pay it. He doesn't tell you that at first, though. He's like, here's the cost. He doesn't always say, hey, guess what? Good news. I got a loan for you and you don't even have to pay it back. Are you with me? I got this. Do you trust me? And then he lets you kind of get into the hot seat a little bit as you go. And you're like, he's like, I got this. Do you still trust me? Are you with me? Point number two, God requires our obedience. Listen to this. One of the easiest ways to shut down the plans of God in your life is by walking in disobedience. Well, I don't want to do that. Hey, go pray for them. I don't want to. Not right now. I don't know that I got the word. You know, you might even be humble in it. Like, I don't even know if I should say anything because it sounds dumb to me. He didn't ask you how you thought it sounded. He just said to say it. I've said a lot of things that to me seemed pretty ignorant in the situation. And I'm like, I don't know how this helps. Like, I really don't. He said, I didn't ask you to understand it. I just asked you to do it and to say it. So I did. And I felt like a goober for about a whole 50 seconds. And then I moved on, right? I was okay. I survived. I lived, you know. You'll live. You'll make it through. And then when you start to hear the voice of the Lord more and more and more because of your faithfulness in doing what he says, you realize that you don't feel that awkward. You know, the world, like conditioning, has taught us to say, well, that's weird. Well, actually, it's not. That's God's natural playing out in our lives, and we try to mystify it and make it all kooky. That's right. I don't want to do that. That's what it is. I encourage you that if that is you today, that if you said no to the Lord in any of these areas of your life, would you take a second right now? I'm going to pause right now and repent. God, I'm sorry. I want to hear your voice. I want to do what you say. I'm sorry that I did not listen. Forgive me and give me another opportunity to say yes. He will. Lord, I want to repent and I want to turn. I want to get my course corrected. GPS recalculating. Because Jesus said in John 14, verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. I'm gonna bring it down home for you. Put that back up just for 1 second. If you say that you love Jesus and he's your everything, and you don't listen to anything that he says, you're a liar. Repent. God, I'm sorry. Help me to do the last thing that you said. Are you with me? And that is difficult. I'm not here telling you that it's not difficult. It is difficult in your flesh. This is why you have to die to yourself. You have to lay yourself on that altar, be consumed, and allow Holy Spirit to guide you in that yes. Okay? 1 Samuel 15:22, Samuel replied, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed or listen is better than the fat of rams. You can bring all the sacrifices that you want to. You can bring all the money into the storehouse that you want to. But that does not mean that you are right with God if you have not listened to God. And I ain't talking about listening to Pastor Chris. Well, I did all the 5 points in his sermon last week. I'm good. No. Because I am not Jesus. Somebody say amen, like, oh, thank you, Lord. Chris is not Jesus. He's doing a terrible job. I'm with you. He is God. And if you're not listening to him, I don't care what I said. You need to go back to him and get it right. Okay? I got another one for you. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Some of us don't even have that down. If your mother or your father is still alive and you have not walked out this scripture, I pray that you get the unction, the heart call to call them up on the phone, or even better yet, go visit them and tell them that you are sorry, that you repent for not honoring them. Whatever they said, whatever they did, I'm not even speaking to that. That's something that the Lord will take care of. But if you have not honored them, you need to get a few things right before you press any further. I've seen so many of my friends, those that are young and old, that have lost mother and father, and they didn't make it right first, and they regret it. As it pertains to you, make it right. You cannot control them. But as it pertains to you, make it right. If there's anything I've said or if there's anything that I have done that has not been honoring to you, I repent. Please forgive me. And then I encourage you, as it pertains to you, I release you from any grievances or anything that I've held against you. He's called us to be ministers of reconciliation. And we're good with it until he gets up in our house. I'm like, wait a second, I have to reconcile too? Yes. The answer is yes. Now listen to the next part of this. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. And I love, Jesus blessed you. All the people that are like, the Old Testament doesn't have anything to do with New Testament believers. You're wrong. Here's an example. This was the first commandment with a promise. He didn't say, this was that old commandment that's not in effect anymore, so it doesn't matter, do whatever you want to do. None of that is said here. So that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. I see so many people that bring the counterpoint of, we're not going to live very long on the earth. I don't know, Alan, maybe 50 years old if you're lucky. You know, it's like, hold on a second. Let's think through all the promises that God gave us. And if I'm doing the promises that God gave me, he said that I would enjoy long life in the land. So I'm here to tell you once again, love you, praying for you, but you're wrong. If you want to live long in the land, do the things that God said to do. Are you with me? Yes. And help me get it right, because I don't always. One of the things that I don't see it in this version, one of my favorite. I memorized these in different versions, so you have to forgive. Actually, no, it is. It is there. Notice the first verse, children, obey your parents in the Lord. One of the things the Lord quickened in my heart when I studied this years and years ago, he said, guess what? I said, what? I'm not just talking about your natural parents. What do you mean? There's people that I've put as parents, mothers and fathers in your life that I also expect you to honor. Did you know that? Did you know that he gives you moms and dads that love you in different ways through different seasons that your own parents couldn't? Maybe they weren't even there. I mean, they could already be with Jesus, right? And so he's like, I've brought you mothers and fathers in the faith too, parents in the Lord. Obey them too. Honor them and esteem them too, right? I like that. And then he also gives a final commandment in verse 4. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Don't be a pain. It's really hard to honor you when you're a turd, okay? Don't do it. All right? Sorry, that's just how I grew up. I'm ornery. But Jesus knows. He's like, listen, I've given your kids a whole lot of grace. You're making this more difficult than you need to be. Will you lighten up a little bit, mom, dad? Lighten up a little bit. They want to honor you. You're just making it difficult. Help me out. Help them out. Are you with me? Some of us only repeat and do what we saw said or done to us. It didn't mean that it was right. It just means that's what we saw, so that's what we did. Can you hear today what you saw might not have been the best way to parent? So ask the Lord, hey, would you evaluate my performance in this area and tell me where I need to change some stuff, and I commit to change some stuff. Because if you're a bonehead because that's all that you saw, doesn't mean it's the right way to go, all right? One little nugget, because I've shared this before, but I love this story so much. It's found in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 13. I appreciated the story of Naaman. So Naaman was not one of the people of God. He was a Gentile, basically, in the grand scheme of things. And even he had to do things God's way. And one of his servants, I love it. And it's kind of like, duh. But he's like, one of his servants said to him, he said, my father, or my lord, my master, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you to just go wash and be clean? He was whining about the process. He was whining about the location. He was whining about all these things. And he's like, dude, if he would have told you that the clouds parted and God said, you would have done it. But something so practical and so simple to your mind, to your knowledge, you've already discredited. You've already shut it down. Wake up. Just go do what he said. Some of us need to wake up and just go do what he said. Well, it's not complicated enough. It doesn't feel like holy and majestic. Well, sometimes the things that God asks us to do are simple because we don't follow instructions very well. So can you do the simple thing first and he'll get you into the bigger things? Are you with me? The bullet there that I had, he said, we often don't obey God's calling in our lives because we look at our own competence and qualifications. Even worse, we compare ourselves to others. Well, my story doesn't look at all like John's story. He's like, good, you're you and he's him. Okay? Here's what God said to me. I think I told a few people this, but what God said to me in that moment, he said, hey, listen, if I have your heart, I can manage your incompetence. If I have your heart, I can manage your incompetence. And you're like, that doesn't sound like Jesus. Well, guess what? 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and I got this afterwards, by the way. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 4 through 6 says, such confidence we have through Christ before God. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. So if he has my heart and I trust him and obey him, he will make me competent. Do you see that? Amen. I'm like, oh Lord, I need lots of competence. The competence is not strong with this one. Help me, Jesus. My next point, God loves our worship. I'm going to give you a scripture, but we're not going to go into it. It's Luke 17. Verses 11 through 19. I love that. Luke 17, 11 through 19. One came back and praised God. Exodus 20, we do have this on the screen. Exodus 20, verses 2 through 6 says, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery, and you shall have no other gods before me. Someone say, no other. Did you know that your cell phone in your hand that consumes all of your time and energy can be a god? Come on. We got lists. I can rattle them all off right now. But if there's something that takes place, first place in your life that you cannot do without, shut it down. I'm thinking of the scripture where Jesus said, if your right hand causes you to sin, lob it off. Some of y'all got some expensive phones and you were talking about, well, that's probably a good indicator that it might be a Lord in your life. Yes. What is it? What is it in your life? Well, my desire to know everything and to be right and to be well esteemed. But guess what? You're bordering on an idol right there in your life. Shut it down. I do not care what people think about my knowledge, my wisdom, what I've learned, what I haven't learned. I won't even get into the argument with you. I would prefer for you to think that I'm stupid than for you to know or to believe that I am some high and lofty guy. I finally get when Paul says that he's like, I've studied more than all of you. I studied under Gamaliel, and he's like the greatest of all the Pharisees, and I count it all as trash. He used some, in the language there, it's more colorful than trash, but you get the idea. And he said, all that's trash. Do not care what you think about my knowledge. I do not care what you think about my qualifications or my accreditations. Did I go to college for 800 years or not? Why? Because he said, you didn't call me. He called me. And if he makes me competent, I don't care what you think. I just want to be faithful. And we're not arguing about our knowledge. We're not all arguing about all the languages that you or I know. One of my favorite things that he kind of capped off on a lot of these conversations as you read them together is he said, you can have all of that. But if you don't have love, you're done. Go learn that basic thing and then let's go. Go do that simple thing and let's go. But it's too simple. It's too simple. You already would have done it. If it's so easy, go do it. Go love somebody. Whew. Verse 4, you shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above, or in the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You unlock a love for 1,000 generations as you are obedient to the Lord. The generations that come after you are walking in his love for 1,000s of generations. Would you say yes to him? And if you're not doing it for yourself because you have this weird complex, I bless you. I pray that's broken off in your life, but do it for your 1,000s of generations that come after you. That's right. Make a good choice and say yes to the Lord. Remember, he loves our worship. John 4, 23 and 24 says this, yet a time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers that the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and truth. Psalm 96, 1 through 3 says, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord and praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all the peoples. Does your day look like that? Jesus, I want all my days to look like that. Wake me up singing a new song. Wake me up blessing your holy name. Wake me up and bring something in my heart and life that proclaims your glory among all the nations that I will step my feet on. That's what I want to be. I love Ephesians 5, 18 through 20. It says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. And in so, as you're filled with the Holy Spirit, this is what happens. Speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Then you're singing and making music from your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God, the Father, for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Man, we give all kinds of things, but I don't know that every day we are giving thanks. Most of the time we're given petition. That do your giving of petition outweigh your giving of thanks when you're in front of the Lord? We could totally thank him more. Anybody with me on that? I think I could thank him more. I think I could praise him more. I don't think I've exhausted my ability to give him thanks and praise. I think I could do it some more, right? Are you with me? One little nugget to note down. Check out Revelation 19. I'm not going to go into it today. But there is worship in heaven. Some of y'all are like, oh, I don't know about this 4 or 5 song business. I don't know about that. So, Pastor Chris is getting a little bit loosey-goosey on all the worship. Well, I'm here to tell you that you're going to be doing this for the rest of eternity, and it won't hurt to practice a little bit. Are you with me? Are you with me? So if you're back in the corner and you're like, I'm a banging cymbal, bang on cymbal. Are you with me? Okay? Let's praise him. Let's give him glory. Next point, we are commanded to evangelize. Matthew 28, 19 and 20, many of us know this. It says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to what? Obey or observe, yes. Everything I've commanded you. And surely, you need to hear this. I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. You are not going alone. You are not an orphan any longer. The Holy Spirit is going with you. He is always with you. So since he's always with you, are you always going? Come on. Mark 16, 15. I love this one. This one's my favorite one. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. I remember a pastor years and years ago. I said, you know, hey, how did you get, you know, kind of confident in preaching and teaching, laying hands on the sick, raising the dead, all of the above, because he'd seen all that in his life. And he said, I started doing it to all the animals and stuff around me first. He was like, I was preaching some of the best sermons and those dogs weren't even barking. Like, what's going on? He was like, that was better than they were barking, right? And then he said, as little kids, you do weird things. And so you remember, maybe some of y'all that have cell phones don't remember, but I remember when we were out in the backyard and you had like the little magnifying glass and you're like, does it really do what they, oh no, it does what they said that it does. And so it's like, Lord Jesus, raise them from the dead. So he was speaking resurrection life over the crickets and grasshoppers and ants that he just nuked by the power of the sun. He didn't tell me what his ratio was for the resurrections, but I was just like, oh no, you know? So they tell you that happens, don't use the magnifying glass in that way, and we don't listen, and it happens. And so anyways, the thing that I appreciated about that is it says, preach the gospel to all creation. Even Jesus knows that you need a little bit of practice. Even Jesus knows that you need a little seasoning, that the message that you come out right out the gate after being saved with is a little bit, you know, a little bit heavy-handed sometimes. And so if you preach to your dogs and your cats and they ain't barking and meowing, maybe a little bit more seasoning. Are you with me? Yes. Verse 16, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And then listen to this. And these signs, someone say, these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will do what? Drive out demons. Some of y'all are scared about that. Like Alan said, some of you are like, oh man, that freaks me out. That's right. Some people are like, I like what's going on here. Repent, get set free. I promise you're going to like it better when they're not there. Next up, they will do what? Speak with new tongues. Some people get weirded out about that, but it's a reality. Next up, they will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. Now listen, there's some weird stuff that happened back in the day. People brought snakes out. We're not that kind of church. Are you with me? I'm smart enough to know that you don't just like, oh, let's just hang out with all these snakes. Nothing will happen. Come on now. That's not what he was talking about. And then the last point, they will place their hands on sick people and they will do what? Get well. Get well. Did you say, John, through your beautiful praying and begging and pleading with me, I guess I'll go ahead and heal somebody. No. He said, you'll lay your hands on them. Not preach a sermon. Not beg and plead. Oh, Lord, they're so good. They serve you so well. They've, you know, gone to church, you know, five times out of the week. Like, they are holy. That's not what he said. He said, just lay hands on them and believe that they'll be made well, and they'll be made well. Okay? My final point as I'm wrapping up, and John, if you would just play something on the keys for us. I'm going to read this in the Message translation. It's Matthew 11, 28 through 30. He calls us to rest in him daily. And here's what the word of God says. He says, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? I know that I have been there. Come on. Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me and watch how I do it. I love this part. It's my favorite. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and rightly. This is that take my yoke upon you. And most of us growing up thought he was talking about eggs. Take my yoke upon you. Mom used to sing this song, take my yoke. And I was like, she loves her some eggs, y'all. Like, I don't know what's going on. And it wasn't until it like dawned on me. I was like, oh, wait, he's not talking about egg yolks. Come on, somebody. I couldn't have been the only one. Take my yoke upon you. You're not going to look at it the same way from here on out. he's talking about plowing and that yoke that fits around you. If it's too big or too small, it's uncomfortable. It doesn't fit well. And he says, I know what fits well for you. And it won't be more than you can bear. It won't be overwhelming. Take my yoke upon you. And I love the next part. Well, I love 29 and 30. I like to walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. It's how we learn. Walking and working with him. He wants a partner. He wants somebody to go with him and say yes to him. He said, I'm going to show you everything you need to do. But can you lay yourself aside, stop striving, and start walking? Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Learn those unforced rhythms of grace. Y'all listen, if God himself on the seventh day looked on everything and saw that it was good and he took a rest, some of y'all need to hear that. Take a rest. That is yet another one of those commandments that I have told you already. Just because it was in the Old Testament doesn't mean that it's gone. Someone lied to you. Take a Sabbath rest. You want to know how I know? Well, guess what? It's in the New Testament too. I'm going to read this in Mark chapter 2, verse 23 in the Passion Translation. It says, one Saturday on the day of rest, Jesus and his disciples were walking through a field of wheat. Verse 27, then he said to them, the Sabbath was made for the sake of people and not people for the Sabbath. So for this reason, the Son of Man exercises his lordship over the Sabbath. So what does rest look like for you? I think it's like the practice of prayer and fasting. When I say those words, when Alan says those words, everybody's heartbeat and anxiety just goes up to 100. Don't do it. We get weird about it, but it's something that requires discipline in our life. And if you've been going through this 21 days of prayer and fasting with us, I encourage you that hopefully it looked different to you than you thought. And hopefully, you know, the days that you didn't quite cut it according to your own measurement or standard, did you ever go back to God and say, hey, what was your measurement and standard? What did you expect? And oftentimes his encouragement says, hey, if you mess up, get up, dust yourself off, and let's keep going. In that process, I don't know if you remember this, but we had some prayer focus, and I would say this should persist past these 21 days. But we prayed for our church, the Big C Church, that we would see lasting revival, that we would see unity in the body of Christ, that we would see true worship, those worshipers worshiping in spirit and in truth in all of our congregations and churches. That we've been praying for our community, new partnerships in our community, new people that we can partner with for the meals, for all of the things that God has placed in our hearts, walking the streets and doing the prayer walks and just being the church for them. That he would cause us to cultivate those relationships and not just bring people here, but add people to the church of God daily. And that what the word of God said happened in the Acts church, they were added to them daily. And then acts of service. How can we bless them? How can we love them? How can we do more than just, oh, we're here on the corner, like we love you? But what ways can we serve them? What ways can we step out? And what you need to hear is, it's not always going to be something that I say from the pulpit. Sometimes God's spoken that directly to you, and he's calling you to rise up and serve. You don't need my stamp of approval. Remember, once again, Chris is not Jesus. So do what he told you to do. And if there's ways that we can partner and pray with you, I would totally do that. But what has he called you to do? So my question for you as we close is, are you living the life of a sower? Someone who brings your sacrifice, someone who walks in obedience, someone who worships the King of Kings and Lord of Lords every day, someone who's evangelistic in heart and mind, that you can't help but tell people about the goodness of Jesus Christ. And then finally, someone who practices rest, someone who knows what it means to wait on the Lord and rest in him and be strengthened for all the things that he's called you to do. He will equip you. Are you taking that moment to rest? three things that we had on our sheet was personal prayer for yourself or your family. I don't know what you all have been praying for yourself or your family, but I encourage you, would you share that with somebody? It doesn't have to just be with me and Christy, but if you have that and you've been persisting, you've been praying, one of the things that has just been highlighted to me more and more and more lately is that we would be deliberate and specific with our requests. That it wouldn't be just like, oh, God bless us. No, be specific. God, we need more finances. God, I got bills to pay that I can't pay. I need $1,000. And I'm going to give you a nugget of wisdom from Alan. Don't just pray for the thousand. Pray for the $1,000 plus the tithe, because you want to give back and thank him for the goodness too. Are you with me? So extend your request. And the reason why I'm saying be specific and don't just say, God, pay my bills. God, pay this bill. God, pay this amount. Because when he does it for you, and you see him do it for you specifically, there's no question. That is exactly on the nose, the exact amount I needed, plus the tithe. And we know the world doesn't calculate the tithe, so that was God and God alone. And then you give him praise. You testify to his goodness in the house of the Lord, and you allow others to praise God with you. Are you with me? So be specific. I would like to stand today. And unless somebody comes and asks me for prayer specifically, what I want to pray for right now, right here, right now, is these personal requests. Maybe you didn't jot them down. Maybe you didn't take note of them, but I want you to take note of at least one right now together. If you want to share it in your little circle around you, share it with your circle around you. Get some witnesses with you. But let's take a minute and let's ask God for something specific. God, we want you to start 2023 with you first and foremost, but make no mistake about it. God knows that you have needs. God knows the cry of your heart. So let that cry rise up within you and tell God, God, I need you here. God, I need you here. I'm going to give you guys a prayer request. I'm going to step out in faith and tell you what I'm seeking for. I was actually driving to Texas the beginning of this week for some pastoral meetings with Foursquare. It was a wonderful time. But in an effort to be wise, I sold my second vehicle, not knowing how much I would need it. And so now I'm a renter. I rent a vehicle when I go out of town so that Christy has a vehicle for the kids. And as I was driving, I heard God say, hey, you know what you need? Sure, what do I need? He said, you need another car. I was like, I'm listening. And he said, no, you need another vehicle. Start believing and asking me for another vehicle. And not just a vehicle that you're going to pay payments on, because that's why I sold the last one. I don't need that in my life. He said, I'm going to bring you a vehicle that's paid for, that you can use for these ministry trips and not be a burden to your family. Because he said, you're going to start doing more of them. Hope that's okay with you, that your pastor is going and doing more things. It's going to cause each of us to rise up and fall into our places in the body of Christ. Because I've told you time and time again, I can't do it by myself. So he says, I'm going to be sending you on more trips and I want you to start believing for a vehicle. And so I've gotten specific. I know what I need. I know what I like, right? I've gotten specific and I said, okay, God, I'm going to start believing you for this vehicle, that you'll take care of every part of it and I won't have to strive for it. I won't have to be in bondage to debt to anybody for it, that it will come to me and I'll be able to do what you've called me to do. So are you with me? Your story doesn't have to be the same way. It could even be bigger. You may be asking God for a house. God, I want to be debt-free, but I want a place of my own. He owns it all, y'all. Nothing is too big. What are you believing for right now? Let's take a moment. Sitting or standing, would you just raise your hands to heaven? Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that you hear us. And I will echo the words of Jesus. I know that you always hear us because you love us. You care for us. You've been taking care of us. And you see and you know. So help us, Lord, to extend our faith to you and to trust you. And Lord, if our requests are not in line with you, Lord Jesus, would you augment those requests and bring them in line with your will, with your plan for our lives? Would you show us your will and your ways? Would you extend our faith? Could we be like the centurion that says, because I understand authority, I don't even need you to step foot in my house. All you have to do is but say the word and it will be so. And I believe that. Increase our faith, Lord Jesus. Increase our faith right here, right now, Jesus. And I declare someone in this place is going to get their miracle. They're going to get their response. And I pray over them right now that they would not keep silent, that they would not hold it in, but they would be like the person that you said in the scriptures, found the pearl of great price, and they could not help but tell everyone they came into contact about it. Look at what the Lord God has done in me, and he can do it for you too, in Jesus' name. Amen, Lord God. So I declare healing miracles right now. I declare financial miracles right now. I declare, Lord, your goodness to cover your people in the land of the living right now. And we will bring you honor and glory and praise because it all belongs to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yes, let's praise him. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. We thank you. You have already answered it. Your yes and amen has already gone forth, and we thank you. We praise you, Jesus. Amen, amen. I'm going to talk about this a little bit, but I just wanted to give you guys the first plug. It is absolutely fresh. But on February 11th and 12th, Prophet Charlie Shamp is coming to Oklahoma City. Some know him, some don't know him, some only know him because I've shared some things here, but it is going to be a wonderful time. That Saturday, the 11th, is Awaken OKC, I believe. Guys, can you show the slide? Yeah. If you scan this or go to the website, please check out the gatherings. They'll show you the dates and the times. But there's also one on there that says volunteer. What I have prayed about with Christy, and I feel like the Lord's hand is on it. If we are the church, it doesn't matter where we meet. And so on February 12th, we will not have service here at Abide. Abide will go to Oasis. That is Pastor James Fortune's church. And so we are all doing this together. And so where we would have served here, so if you would have been scheduled here that day for coffee, let's go help them make coffee. If you've been scheduled here that day for worship, we're going to go and help them do worship. But we're going to do that Saturday night at Awaken, Sunday morning at Oasis, and Sunday evening at Oasis. All right? So the thing that I'm going to ask you guys, not only help me, but pray for us. Me and the boys, me, Hezekiah, and Eli do a whole lot, and it's our joy to do a whole lot, but you also get a little bit tired. So if anybody wants to come and learn, please let us know. We will teach you. The other thing I will say, if you were not here last week, the big news is that we have launched our Latino services, our services in Spanish. And so they happen on Saturday nights at 7, and they happen on Sunday nights at 5:30. All right. And so we meet here. And one of the things that you may be asking yourself is, I don't speak Spanish. Levi, come on. And Tamika, they had interpreters and they did it in English and Spanish. And it was the biggest blessing on the planet. It was so beautiful. And so they did some songs in Spanish. And y'all, listen, I'm getting better at my Spanish because I was following the words on the screen. So listen, I need help in that too. I need people to come alongside of us and help us with ushering, help us with the communion, help us with the offering, help us with the sound and lights and media. Can we serve them? Can we help them? You don't have to pick both nights. Pick one of the nights. So Saturday night at 7, doors open at 6:30. Sunday night at 6, doors open at 5:30. And just come and serve. And if you need to go early, we bless you. Leave early. Do what you have to do. But I think just coming and serving, and remember, my vision in this was not that we would be two separate entities, but that we would become one. And that's their heart. Okay? So I encourage you, come out, and then I will post on Facebook the location of Oasis, as well as just continue sharing that we will not have service here at Abide at all on February 12th. It will be at Oasis in Edmond. Okay? If you need a ride, let me know, because we have people that have bigger cars and we will make sure you get there, okay? So let us know. If we don't know, we can't help, but let us know if you would need a ride or if you would like a ride. Some people actually live closer to Oasis than they live here, and they may be able to help you too. So let us know and we'll kind of get the logistics of that taken care of, but I'm very, very excited. If you have gone in your life, and I want to color this a certain way, can God speak to you right here, right now, through anybody in the room? Absolutely, yes. But God has used this man, Charlie, in a number of ways. And I just encourage you that if you've been seeking the Lord for something, remember, get specific. And I am very confident to say, I guarantee you're going to get an answer to your prayers. So come, be blessed by Charlie. He is a wonderful man of God. And then I want Abide to assist Oasis and bless him for his time coming down and being with us instead of being with his little family in North Carolina. All right? So we want to be cheerful givers. Pray about February 11th and 12th and how we can bless this man of God, okay? I love you guys. I bless you, and we will see you either throughout the week at small groups or next Sunday. Love you.